The head coach of Indiana men's soccer is our good friend Todd Yeagley. Coach, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great, glad. Thanks for having me.
And we always appreciate you at a very, very busy time in your season for a couple of reasons, multiple reasons. Number one, you have a massive match coming up on Sunday against the under-20 youth Mexican national team. You've got a coaching position open. Your schedule's been released. You've been playing spring soccer. Other than that, you got nothing going on.
No, nothing going on right now. Been busy.
Let's start with the coaching. As we heard this week, Brian Mazenoff, your teammate, best friend, sidekick, is moving on to Ohio State. Couldn't we have gotten him a job outside the conference? We know your connection to Columbus is a big deal, but a bittersweet time, but not surprising in any way, shape, or form.
No, I mean, you know, Brian's, you know, he's excellent at what he does. And, you know, he had said that he might be here for the long haul, and obviously I would have been excited for that. But, I could tell there was a little bit of an itch these last few years, and this has been a job that we've talked about. And so we really try to help as best we can prepare him for the opportunity. And obviously he went there and knocked it out, and certainly it's gonna elevate our whole conference. So obviously it's gonna make our job more difficult, because I know he'll do a good job. But in the end, it's really gonna make everything better for us in the conference, because we have another quality coach, and that program has a lot of potential to be more consistent in what their output. So it's a tough one game. You know, I have that also with Wisconsin for a few reasons. I mean, these are people that are very close to me. But I think it's a great, you know, in the end, it's a great moment for the program, because it's helped another one of our bright stars move into a really important position. And again, a great reflection upon the environment that our program has been able to create.
Absolutely. That footprint expanding throughout the conference. John Trask at Wisconsin, obviously, as well. So I'm not good at math, but that's three of the Big Ten coaches. That has to be a proud moment for you and your dad for everything that's gone on there. Now we talk about spring soccer a little bit. You've had some matches. Your spring is your travel season, really. Just one match here and then some matches bouncing around. And you've been to Grand Park. You've been to Fort Wayne. What have you seen this spring that's going to encourage you for next fall?
Well, I mean, the big challenge here is that we have a lot of returning pieces to our team, and so we're really trying to find some depth in a few positions, tweak a bit some thoughts within a group that, again, has had a lot of experience, and that makes it hard at times, because you can't squeeze this thing too tight when you have a mature team who's been through springs, and there's no momentum gained, you know, from spring into the fall. There's things that we learn and we can grow individually and certainly collectively, but there's no momentum in sense. So, you know, trying to keep this group moving forward, and also understand that they're very motivated for what's ahead in the fall. You know, it was at times this spring, a few times calculated with a few of the older guys, and we had to make sure that we kept that in check, knowing that they know how to turn up the volume when it comes for the fall season. So that was a challenge with the older team. But that said, did a great job with these young guys and our team, and we did get some developmental depth figured out, and we're going to have another big test Sunday to see where a few of those players stand against a really good team.
And coming up Sunday is the under-20 youth Mexican national team. We've seen plenty of these outfits come through over the years. It's been a great celebration of the end of spring soccer. It's kind of like your spring game with the international flavor, the international match. Where does this under-20 Mexican youth national team set up in the grand scheme of things? Is this one of their better teams they've brought?
Yeah, from what we're hearing, this is a really good group. You know, had some special groups come through. Mexico's been very consistent on the youth side, and obviously at the men's World Cup level, they're consistently, you know, right with us typically outside of this past cycle at the top of the CONCACAF. So, you know, there's going to be there's going to be a few of these players on the field on Sunday, just like there was years ago with Dos Santos and Chicharito, that are going to be at the world stage and not only playing for their full team in the recent year, in the upcoming years, but also at some pretty big clubs around the world. So I know our fans, and certainly a lot of the Latino fans in the community who support the Mexican national team are excited to see the next star. And clearly for us, it's a measuring stick for the players that are at our national team level and the ones that are aspiring to be, of what the difference would be. And sometimes you got to play against that to really feel it. And so I say it's a really big learning game for as much our team, but more individually, with things they feel and see and experience in this game.
And for some of these players on your squad that might not get to that level, this is as close as they'll get to a taste of world football. How do they embrace that challenge?
We go ahead, we go straight into it. I mean, we talk about it. We say, hey, this is like a little mini international game. The guys that you're playing against are all pros right now. They may not be starting for Club America or Chivas, but again, these guys are all pros. This is your challenge. How do you step up and go toe to toe with them, and yet keep in perspective that these players are a very high level. So we have to keep our minds right. It's a really good game for us because we typically have a lion's share of the ball and are kind of on top of teams more than not. So this creates a segment of a game that we might see in the fall where we're just maybe not on top of a team. And we have to be super effective and maybe defending in a certain area, being patient, and then taking really good care of the ball because they're going to be very good in their possession. And I bet you their repress will be excellent. So it's a big challenge for us to be able to handle a different type of game that we typically experience.
Now, in that game, do you shift what you're doing tactically or do you try to play Indiana soccer against these pros?
We have a great question, Glass. We'll have a few different scenarios in this game where we might be a little stubborn per se and really kind of experiment or do something that maybe for the end result may not be the best decision, but I want to see how we can do against this test. Then there'll be a segment of the game where I might reel that back and go very much in a result mode. So whether it's a first half, second half, a period of a half, but for us to sit and just absorb, for instance, would not help us big picture as much as going ahead and working on our press and trying to handle them in the open field, not only collectively with our spacing, but individually. How do we handle a really talented attacker with space in and around us and space behind us for center backs or keeper? So we try to balance that. But we certainly just don't play this for a result. We're not getting the trophy here at the end of the day. If we win this game, for me, it's about a growth for our team.
Todd Yeagley is our guest this morning. He's the head coach of the Indiana men's soccer program, the Mexican youth national team, under 20s, 2 o'clock at Armstrong Stadium on Sunday. You can get your tickets at the website, iuhoosiers.com. And this is not an all-star team. This is a team of under 20s that play together on a constant basis. So they have a plan. They are playing for something down the road, just like you guys are trying to get ready. So that's what makes it a fascinating match because it's just not some it's not a Sunday league game where we're just going to kick it around. It's going to be 8-7.
Yeah, I mean, these guys are playing for jobs, for one. I mean, the Under 20 World Cup is a massive platform for that particular group. I mean, that's where a lot of big decisions are made at the big clubs in Europe and around the world for buying players. So these players from Mexico, they are playing for their future, not only with their own national team, but also their professional future. So this is a serious deal. This is obviously a preparation camp for them. But they don't come here, again, just to knock it around and have a nice sightseeing trip to the Midwest. They're here to get some work done. And I'm sure they have some, things they're looking to get done specifically that may be the end result. But every time we've had this game, when that whistle blows, that group across the way from us, they are very focused on winning this game. So we're going to get their best.
Yeah, and if you haven't been to one of these folks, you'll tell by when the national anthems are played that it is a big deal and a great deal. 2 o'clock on Sunday, that's where this Sunday, taking place at Armstrong Stadium. Your schedule also came out this week and a very interesting opening road trip from the fryer into the frying pan. You'll finish the spring season with Mexico, then it's down to Tobacco Road to open up 2018.
Yeah, we got a real good one. We typically don't go on the road the first weekend. If we do, it's up to Notre Dame for two games there, which are more neutral games. So what I felt with this team is that they want these games. They're ready for these games. I felt that when we did the schedule a couple of years ago that we would be, a team that with mature guys that can handle and want, because we're going to get their biggest crowds, no question. Both will be sellouts, and we typically bring that to when we travel. So our team is going to love it, quite honestly. Now, the challenge on the field, that these are going to be two really good teams. I would say all the teams, the three of the teams that weekend, based on what's returning and kind of what they've brought in, many from the outside would say these are Final Four very strong teams. So this is a great early test to see where we are, to see again where we match up against teams that, if things go well, we could potentially see down the line in the tournament.
North Carolina and Wake Forest is that weekend in Winston-Salem and Chapel Hill. As you mentioned, Coach, those are not neutral site games. Those are on-campus games, and that's what makes coming to Indiana a big deal. You play in matches like this. You have a chance to compete for a Big Ten and national championship annually. Talk about the freshman class that's coming in. Obviously, a big freshman last year, Mason Toy, will not return. Indiana's leading goal scorer turned pro, was drafted in the top 6 or 7 of the MLS draft. That's a great story in itself, but you don't rebuild, you reload. Who should we be keeping an eye on throughout the summer and into next fall?
Well, it's a balanced group. The biggest area that we, when we recruited this group, was we knew Grant Lillard would be graduating. And so a top-level center back was a priority, and we have one coming in. Jack Mayer from St. Louis is, we feel, the top center back in the country, and in particular things that we value in those qualities. So he's as good as Grant Lillard was coming in. Certainly Grant Lillard departing is a pretty mature guy and a very good player that I expect no one to come in to fill his shoes specifically at his level. But we got a really good one. And A.J. Palazzolo, who took the year off of ACL, has had a fantastic spring. He's also in contention for that center back role. And then the other one was building some depth up the field. I think Ryan Wittenbrink will be an interesting piece for us. He can play any of the front positions. He could play as a 9, which is a position that obviously Mason played as a striker. But it's like we get a new recruit in Justin Renick. This whole thing is that we had a player that really only played 20 minutes in some big games down the stretch. Our fans, many of them, were asking at the Final Four, who is this guy? How did you unearth him, and why have you not played him earlier? that's not great coaching, right? Yes, we would have played Justin much earlier if he was healthy, but he had a broken foot and missed most of the season. So Justin is really like a freshman for us in the sense of like how he will, blend into our team. So with Mason's departure and Grant's, we have a lot of depth and push from some other players, some of the freshmen that obviously were here in the fall that redshirted, and then some of the other developing players. Got a couple of really good center backs as well, we think can be there down the line, from in-state Isaac Saracy to Dan Mooney over in St. Louis. So we're pretty excited about short-term and long-term objectives for this recruiting class.
That St. Louis connection hope never will end. That's the great news there. That's a hotbed, obviously, of youth soccer and has been a pipeline for Indiana for more years than I can count. And that makes it exciting as well. Francesco Moore, is he the leader of the band?
He's a big leader. Frankie, he is he's a special kid, and he's out of the same cloth as many of our great leaders and I would call it fiber players of years past. A Brandon Ward, who I got to play with, the John Stollmeyer in the 80s, to a Daniel O'Rourke, who epitomized, what IU soccer is all about, and then a Caleb Porter, you name it. Obviously, Jacob Bushu in the recent years. We got Francisco Moore. I mean, you name it. That is a huge part of our team, and he is developing and really holding this team accountable in all areas. So I feel from a leadership standpoint, he and some others will do a great job for us.
The next time we'll have you on the phone will be after that road trip to Wake Forest and North Carolina, as we'll get prepared for the IU Adidas Credit Union Classic. That will kick off your home schedule. It's UConn and Dartmouth coming to town, so a little East Coast soccer this year.
Yeah, just a couple softies. Like
yeah, just after a tough weekend, you want to come home and lay on the pillow. Let's bring in UConn and Dartmouth.
I do look at the schedule and wonder who made it. It's an evil side twin of mine that wants to give me a little bit more gray. But yeah, I mean, our team loves it. Our fans expect it. Our alumni, it's our scheduling philosophy is simple. You've got to really challenge yourself, and you might take a hit, but you really do know where you are. In the end, the guys want challenges every week, and UConn is a perennial power, won a few championships, always a team that's in the mix. And Dartmouth's been a three-time Ivy League champion. They made a Sweet 16 a couple of years ago. They're a tournament team regularly. Two really good teams to play our classic.
Yeah, we thought we might have seen Dartmouth last year, but that didn't work itself out in the tournament, and Indiana marched on no problem. Michigan, Kentucky, Maryland, Butler, you name it. It's your schedule is power-packed as it is every year, but let's focus on tomorrow, or on Sunday, rather. 2 o'clock, Bill Armstrong Stadium, the Mexican under-20 national team. 2 p.m. kickoff, the pomp and circumstance. Get there early. It'll be a big, big crowd, and as always, we appreciate your time here on a Big Show Friday. Thanks, Coach.
Thanks, Klaus. Hope to see everyone Sunday. It's going to be a fun one.
It will be, and the weather is perfect as well, so that won't help. Last year, we had life jackets and life boats for everybody. We're not dealing with that this year. This year, it's suntan lotion for everyone. Thanks, Gaffer. We appreciate it.
Thank you. See you, Klaus.